Hello, hi, you're tuning in to I'm Worthy of Wealth, our Saturday morning hour of power teaching. We'd like to take the time to thank you for joining in with us as we build you for the better life in wealth creation. Join us every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time as we take the time to build you, empower you, and give you the principles to build and create wealth from a spiritual and physical perspective. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. And I look forward to seeing you in your better state and place. Your better life now. So again, we thank you for you tuning in with us for this time. All right, as we get ready to get started, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. You know, that's always good to invite Holy Spirit in as we take the time to go over principles. And today, in this, the end, closing out our series on God Bless the Generous, I'm going to be looking at the godly purpose of money. And that's a loaded statement because that incorporates two aspects, okay? Spiritual and natural or physical, okay? We're going to be looking at that. We're going to be looking at that and understanding and learning from that because the more you have a balance in your understanding of this, the easier it is for you to go forth and create the wealth that it is that you believe in God for and that you know you need for your assignment, okay? Let's pray. Father, bless us. As we bless you, make teaching easy this morning. Open the eyes of our understanding that, Father, we can walk away from this moment having been bettered in our revelation, that we can concentrate on the manifestation of all good things that you have sent and brought our way. Father, we thank you for this time and we bless you for all that you're going to do as a result of our faithfulness in you. And we give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and yes again, amen. All right, everybody, and those of you who are listening on Anchor, thank you for tuning in to our podcast. As we have many people around the country who are tuning in online as well as on conference. So we bless God for just all the avenues that we have to share the message. All right, well, listen, this is going to transition us into our next series where we're going to be dealing with the Savior secrets of creating wealth. The Savior secrets of creating wealth. Just different things that was principles that was taught in the Holy Scriptures that anybody who's serious about bettering their life, you want to understand what God had to say about money, what kind of money, because that's the difference too, and how we should have it or how we can have it. So we're going to look at that. But as we get ready to open up right now, the first thing I'm going to share with you is one of the many mistakes many Christians make concerning finances is they think the spiritual side of things is the only side they need to be concerned with. Now, I want you to hear me. While the spiritual aspect is critical, wealth is not just is going to drop out of the sky and magically come into your hands because you just made a confession. Or just because you believe it's available for you. You need to do some very practical things in order to set yourself on the path of financial increase. And once you have an understanding of the godly purpose of money, of the three directions that we're going to deal with today, in which your money ought to flow, you then can begin to strategize a plan or follow a strategy to acquiring wealth. But the first thing is you must understand that, again, it's God's idea for you to have it, but there is a physical component to the spiritual. Well, let's look at both, all right? Let's open our scriptures this morning to a very familiar passage of scripture, Job 36 and 11. Let's go there, write it down if you're taking notes, you really want to do that. Job 36 and 11, and I'm going to be reading this from the New King James Version. All right, Job 36 and 11. Watch what the scripture says here. Scripture says in Job 36 and 11, if they, Now, you must understand, they are qualified here as the believer. The believer, okay? If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Now, stop here. If they is in reference to the believer, then the one who believes in this principle. See, you can't approach Job 36 and 11 and say, well, I obey God. Well, I serve the Lord. And I'm not spending my days in prosperity and pleasure. It ain't true. Now, first and foremost, because you're not approaching this as a believer. You got to believe that as you are on the assignment, as you are in alignment with your assignment, I should say, that the Lord is going to bring you to opportunities that's going to enable you to spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. Now, that don't mean it's always going to go well for you, but I will say this. There is a level of living that you have yet to tap into that will happen as you begin to understand your foundation of spiritual empowerment as well as physical wealth and enhancement. All right? So these two go hand in hand, and it needs to be taught. That's why we take a special time on Saturday to primarily deal with wealth, and that won't change. We'll continue to do this with this ministry. Every Saturday, 9 a.m., we'll be here to teach and empower you that as you're building your life for better, you also can build this component of wealth. You understand what I'm saying here? So watch the key here in Job 36 and 11. If they, who are they? The believer, obey and serve. That means obeying and serving is the key. Now, I'm of the firm persuasion, and I teach you this morning, that if you are not obeying and serving God, why should he prosper you? I'll let you think about that for a moment. I'll say it one more time. If you're not obeying and serving God, why should he prosper you? Think about that for a moment. Why should he put you in a position where you have the resources that are necessary to build wealth if you're not obeying and serving him? Because you're going to understand this. I'm not talking about a worldly perspective of having money, because guess what? There's a whole show that's dedicated to people who have been greedy, trying to just build wealth on their own accord with no real purpose behind it except for themselves. It's called American Greed. And many of you probably have heard of that on CNBC, or maybe you watch that. But that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about you understanding that God want to prosper you. State your name, Adrian L. Blue. God want to prosper me like God want to prosper you for this reason. Because we made a decision to obey him and to serve him. And in the service of the Lord, it takes resources. And these resources are not going to come because you prayed a prayer. Now, don't get me wrong. Affirmations and confessions and believing is a strong part of your wealth journey. But you still got to go out and you still got to work a strategy to create wealth, whether that's investment, whether that's providing a service or selling a product, whether that's doing something that you're creative about that others will pay you for. Some of you got recipes that are amazing, amazing recipes. Well, these recipes is a key to your prosperity, because by doing it the right way, even if you're selling pies on the side, cakes that you bake, or whatever the case may be, somebody somewhere may be interested inside of them. And as they are, guess what they're going to want to do? They're going to want to have it. And as they want to have it, guess what? You can then create wealth by providing a product or a service. Are you following me? But the key thing in Job 36 and 11 is to obey and serve him. And those who do, here's what you can expect: to spend your days in prosperity, your years in pleasure. But I'm going to add this, according to your belief. Which means if you don't believe that you can do this, then guess what you're going to say? You're going to come up with every excuse why this won't happen for you, because it didn't happen for somebody else. And I'm telling you, this is a different day. You are coming to a different awareness. You're coming to a different place of understanding why it's important for you to be wealthy. Now, back in the day, it wasn't a why. You was even taught that, no, that's materialism and that's worldliness. And those who speak in terms of wealth from that perspective clearly are under a different kind of influence, and it's not God. Because why would God not want you to be wealthy? Let's think about this here. Those of you who've been following this ministry for any amount of time, let's just call it 90 days. And you've been growing. You've been being blessed. You know the teaching. You see the outreach. You are part of all these things. Now, let me ask you a question. All right, to really fulfill the vision that God has called for us to do, it's going to take $30 million. You often hear me talk about that because that's what I'm talking about everything paid for, everything established and built and all kinds of stuff, $30 million. Now, here's my question for you who are listening to me at this time. If you have been blessed by this ministry and you had, let's just say not the whole $30 million, but $1 million of the $30 million, will you give it? Now, if you be honest with yourself, many of you who know God has called you here, you would. You would give it. But here's the challenge. You don't have it. Now, what am I saying about that? I'm saying, why would God not want to bless you when he knows that if you obey and serve him, then guess what you're going to do? You're going to add money or value to the kingdom of God and go on from there. Listen to me. I'm in Georgia right now, and in Georgia, they're inside of the Alpharetta Mall. Anybody who knows Alpharetta know that it's in a very exclusive area. When I used to live here, I lived out here. They built up a lot around here. But there's I've mentioned this on one of the other Saturdays. There's a store that they're bringing to the Alpharetta Mall called H&M. H&M, Jen Suk Noon, who's the founder, her and her husband, they're Christian believers. They're part of the Lutheran Church, of course. But they started H&M, and H&M is in one of the most exclusive areas. You know, affordable luxury, they call it. But on with their stores, guess what happened? They now give back millions of dollars back into the Lutheran Church to advance the causes of the Lutheran Church. The Lutheran Church is a denomination, of course, that believes in a certain edicts and decrees and stuff like that. But my point is this, God prospered them. They never forgot. They give back to the organization they're a part of. And get this, even on their bags, if you ever purchase something from their store, H&M, John 3:16 will be written on their bags. These are Christian billionaires. They are billionaires, all from retail stores. My point is this, they understood that, yes, if I'm going to obey and serve God, even in my business, God will prosper me. And if you ever hear their physical testimony, they'll tell you on how God has prospered them, and that's why they give back. So my point that I'm making is this. If, in fact, you are obeying and serving him, why would God not want to prosper you when he knows prospering you will cause you to do good things, like give to the kingdom of God through the Better Life Empowerment Movement, like give, like H&M does with their store, millions of dollars every year. And I'm not talking about one or two. I'm talking about tens of millions of dollars that they give back. So when we understand it from that perspective, we can see why God wants us to do it. But the only person who's really in the way is you. You're in the way due to the fact of you not thinking you can have it. Number two, you're not thinking you're worthy of it. And number three, you're not willing to work for it. I'm going to say it again. These are the three reasons. The three reasons why when it comes to wealth, many people don't think that they can have it. Now, are not receiving or walking in it. Number one, they don't think they can have it. They don't think they can have it. They don't think it ever happened for them. I'm going to be honest with you. Listen to me. We've been teaching on manifestation, and we're going to go even further on belief in our next series. But if you don't understand that you have the power to manifest, and how do we manifest? We manifest from what was revealed. So the more you get revelation, the more easier it is for manifestation. Because once I get revelation of what God wants in store for me, I can manifest it by following the process of manifestation. And I'm not going to go over this right now. If you haven't heard it from the series, then email me at pastoralblue@gmail.com and we will make it available for you. Especially if you're a giver into this ministry, we'll make sure you're equipped. Amen. But the key focus at this particular time that I want each and every one of you to understand is as it relates to wealth, the second thing is people don't think they're worthy of it. That's why we teach every Saturday morning, I'm worthy of wealth. I want to get you so inculcated with the truth that you are worthy of wealth, that God wants you to be wealthy. Now, can you get to heaven without being wealthy? Of course you can. You can get to heaven by being broke. What constitutes you going to heaven is that you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. However, why go to heaven beneath my privilege when on earth he's put all good things to come towards me that I can experience a full manifestation of him? And thirdly, you're not willing to work for it. You're not willing to work for it, which means that wealth is a process. I do not believe in you just thinking that all you got to do is say this or say that and it's going, voila, here it is. No, you got to go out. You got to do something. You got to stay focused. Even though, and I'll say this all the time, even though we don't have the full finance budget of the vision of this ministry, and if you any of you ever want to see the vision or know the vision, contact me, pastoralblue@gmail.com. It's open for everyone because it's no secret. It's the plan of God in which he's called for this ministry and the partners and members a part of this ministry to follow. So this is how we gauge. Are we on target? Are we off target? Are we hitting the mark? Are we missing a mark? That's why having a vision is so important, whether it's for your family or whether it's for the ministry or anything you're a part of. You got to know the vision of it because that's what keeps you on track. So long story short, the vision, even though the vision is not fully financed, how much would that be, Pastor? $30 million at this time. It's not fully financed at this time. Guess what? We still keep working the vision. And everything that comes in, we add it to, you know, the overall cost of doing everything God has called for us to do, which is very extensive, but very empowering. Well, here's my point. I realize that God wants to prosper. So if you ask me, do I think we'll ever meet our budget? Of course I do. Oh, absolutely I do. That's why I do what we do as a result of carrying out this ministry, organizing, elevating, and improving on our processes. Because I know it's going to happen. It's only a matter of time. All right? Not if, but when. It's only a matter of time. And that's how you got to be when it comes to your wealth. You got to know it's going to happen. So whatever you're doing, whether you're working a 9-to-5, you got to be very strategic with taking a portion of what you're working and putting that towards your wealth creation. Whether you're owning a business, you got to be focused towards the end game, the long run game, that one day you'll be able to sell that business to a larger company who may pay you millions for it. Now think about that. But at the end of the day, you are focused on Job 36:11, that if I obey and serve him, I'm going to spend my days in prosperity and my years in pleasure. Okay, let's go even further. Ready? Let's go to Ecclesiastes 5:19. Okay, Ecclesiastes 5:19. All right, in Ecclesiastes 5:19, I'm going to ask somebody to unmute your line, and I want you to read this from the King James Version. Very important you get the King James Version, because on the flip side of this, and once you get it, just unmute your line, and once I hear you stating your name and where you're calling from, I will certainly give you the opportunity and the floor to read the scripture here. All right? But while you're doing that, I want to just say this one point, that as it relates to the wealth creation, and please understand, God just doesn't want to make you wealthy so you can give it all away. I want to make that point clear. It's not so you can give it all away. Because you know what? There are times that God will require a sacrifice from us, which will take a lot from us. But there's other times that he requires a portion. And we're going to talk about what that portion is. Ecclesiastes 5:19, if you have it, just state your name, where you're calling from, and I need you to read that with a loud voice from the King James Version.
Good morning, Pastor. This is Paula from Kissimmee, Florida.
All right, Paula, read.
As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God.
Thank you so much, Paula. Thank you so much for this. And I want you to hear this. In Ecclesiastes 5:19, watch what it says. To every man, that means everybody, right? Man here is mankind. It's unisex, not just gender specific, okay? Every man also to whom God has given what? riches and wealth. So who gives riches and wealth? God. You see that? Whom God has given riches and wealth, has given him or her or them the power to eat thereof. So he's given you the riches and wealth, and he's given you the ability to eat thereof or to enjoy it, to take what? His portion. But this shows us that there's a portion of your wealth that is not for you. It's for kingdom building. But there is a portion of your wealth that you can take, that you can rejoice in your labor and realize that this is a gift from God. What do we learn from this? We learn two things. We learn, number one, God doesn't want all that you have. Now, he wants all of you. He doesn't want all that you have, but he'll take what you give unto him. And again, this is a portion. All right. And he will multiply and bless that portion. And as he multiply and bless it, you then will have the ability to enjoy your part all the while being a blessing to others in theirs. Ain't that amazing? You know what I'm saying? And that's why I want you all to understand that as it relates to why you want to be wealthy, it's because if you don't have a heart to be generous, if you don't have a heart to say, you know what, I'm going to do good unto others. I'm going to do good for people, for family members, for the ministry. I'm going to do good for the kingdom. Then your wealth is only self-focused or self-centered. And the only thing you're concerned about is your wealth for yourself. And I'm telling you here, according to what we're reading here in Ecclesiastes 5:19, you don't have to be concerned about you. Again, that's why I say this all the time, and I'm going to say it one more time. Don't ask God to make you a millionaire or a billionaire, not another day. Ask the Lord to make you a billion dollar giver. Because if you're focused on being a blessing, being generous, and we've taught on this, all this series on generosity, and we're going to package this together and offer it to you. But we've taught on generosity and the purpose of why you should want to be generous. And if you're generous, God makes room for you to have more. He allows through you to be the hands of him, that he can be a blessing in any capacity. So again, it's a gift from God. Wealth and riches is a gift from God. We see this in Ecclesiastes 5:19. Now, let's go to another scripture. Go to Deuteronomy 8:18. Deuteronomy 8:18. So while you're turning there, let me just really emphasize on this point that the purpose of me having wealth, okay, or I should say this here, as God gives me wealth and riches, he's given me the ability to enjoy it. Now, what do I mean by enjoying it? Do you want a better home? What about a nicer car? What about be able to have that financial security to know I'm sitting on six figures just on, you know, reserve? All this is possible. But understand this. Do not be gung-ho, because this is where we can blur the line. Some of you can be so focused on building wealth that all you do is you don't tithe, you don't give, you don't support, you don't do anything. All you're doing is, I'm just saving my money. Now, please understand, even that attitude alone can cause for circumstance to happen that what you're saving, the devourer will come and devour it. The spirit of the devourer. Now, that's just, you got to understand, everything in this realm is spiritual. Even though we live in a physical realm, we are spiritual beings, and there are things that happen spiritually. If you're not supporting, if you're not giving, if you're not generous, you won't enjoy it either. Because according to Ecclesiastes 5:19, he says, I'm going to give you the ability to enjoy your portion with that which I give to you, because you committed the other portion to building the kingdom in all that I do. This is what the Lord is saying. So watch Deuteronomy 8:18. Very familiar passage of scripture to many. Okay? Here's what the scripture says. And we're making good timing, guys. We may open the floor for any questions. So if you got any questions, write them down on the side. And we want to answer those today. But I want to give you a good, healthy foundation. These are the Savior secrets. And the reason why they're Savior secrets is because it's what he taught. It's what Jesus believed in. And when we know that it's what he believed in, we can embrace these secrets and understanding the godly purpose of wealth. So we see it. The godly purpose of wealth is that the Lord wants to give unto you and do for you as long as your heart's in the right place and you're committed to doing unto him. Now watch Deuteronomy 8:18. Okay, here we go. Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Ah, same thing we read in Ecclesiastes 5:19. That is the Lord who gives every man wealth and riches, right? That, watch this here. This is why he gives you the wealth, that he may establish his agreement or covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is this day. So the purpose of God wanting to prosper you is he made an agreement with Father Abraham. And Abraham is all of our father. We are the seed of Abraham, the children of Abraham. That means every blessing that he has in store for Abraham is available for who? You and I. Come on. A blessing is available to us. It is a gift from God. But you notice here in Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, it is the Lord your God who gives you the power to get. I want you to underline this in your script, in your Bibles. Okay, power to get. God gives us power to get. God gives us power to get. He just doesn't give us the wealth to rain down upon us. He gives the ability to go out and to establish the wealth through what? A strategy that is put before you, a plan that is meant to prosper you. And listen to me, nothing wrong with you working a 9-to-5. Listen, I am not anti 9-to-5, but listen, as you work that 9-to-5, make sure you take a portion of that, you invest into the kingdom of God, and then you invest inside of your personal self. Okay? All right? And again, we believe in great investments like gold, silver. I still believe in cryptocurrency, even though it's down now. It's taking a hit. I still believe cryptocurrency is the money of the future, okay? I believe that people who jump out of cryptocurrency will lose up to 90%, because again, like with anything, there's ebbs and flows, ups and downs, but you're in it for the long haul, not the short haul. And that's why I love gold and silver too, because we know gold and silver being God's money has never lost its value. And I believe never will. Even heaven will be created, made of gold. All of heaven. So you tell me that. How can something that becomes worthless becomes a prized thing for the Lord to use in our eternal resting place? Now, that's, neither here nor there towards this message, but I'm sharing this with you, how God wants to prosper you. And when you get that in your mind, opportunities and open doors will come your way and you'll start walking in it. You start making your plans right now that as you had the money, what would you do now? How would you do it? It's important. Get you a notebook. Call it your vision book. Start writing those things out. Reread them before you go to sleep. Or, get that feeling in your mind and that passion in your heart. And you're going to see yourself manifest the very things that you want. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? So let's get ready. Let's go to this part, because I want you to understand this in this teaching, that all money has three purposes. All right. Now that we know God want to give it to you. Now that we know it's a gift from God, you can enjoy your portion, but the other portion got to go to serving the kingdom. And this is a proper way for a believer to be wealthy. Now, an unbeliever, a worldly person, they can have all the money in the world and still have no peace. Well, we got peace. Now it's time for the believer to step into prosperity. So peace and prosperity, not an or, it's an and, because there's no dichotomy between being saved and paid. But let's look at what the three purposes of money. Ready? Write this down. This is going to help you here. All money has three purposes. What are those three purposes? Number one, to honor God. To honor God and to help others. That's the first purpose. Your money should be to honor God, and that's by supporting the kingdom, and to help others. Those who are less than, those who are struggling, it doesn't matter where you are. Because you know what I found out? Even at my most difficult financial challenges, and again, in life, everyone will face financial challenges. The millionaire, the billionaire will face financial challenges. How do we know it? Because there are some millionaires who are millions of dollars in debt, and you crying over your 80 or 60,000 or your 50,000 in debt. Imagine being, I've always honored the business side. From what I saw in real estate of Donald Trump. But it was amazing how Donald Trump went from being a millionaire, went bankrupt, built it all back, and became a billionaire. Now, think about the mindset on him when it comes to this. Now, my point is this. Now, that's neither here or there on your opinion as it relates to him, but you can't argue with the results. The results is he is a billionaire today. And he's a billionaire because he believes something about his wealth creation. My point is this. You got to understand that even if you have wealth, the purpose of having it is to honor God and help others. And when you realize that, you know, God blessed me to be a blessing, then you know what? You're going to be positioned to be that blessing. And how do you know when you can start doing it? Not when you get $1 million, when you can do it now. I dare to say, and I want you all to hear me, if you're stingy right now financially when it comes to the things of God, you will not be generous when you get money. Because your mindset is off. You're twisted in your thinking. You think, well, this is all I got. If I get this way, I won't have no more. That's your mindset. That's why you don't give. That's why you're not generous. But when you're able to be generous, well, I don't know how God's going to do it. But I do know his word is true. He said, give and he'll give back unto me. How? Press down, shake it together, run it over. Shall he cause men to give into my bosom. That means as I give to God, as I give to ministry, that's how we give to God. We give to ministry, ministries that are in line with his will. He's going to raise up individuals who use their gifts, their talents, and their abilities on my behalf. That's going to bless me on my behalf. That's his word. So when you really believe God, according to that, you can be generous at whatever level you're at. Whether you're a dollar-naire, whether you're a hundred-naire, whether you're a thousand-naire, whether you're a millionaire, I can be generous because I understand the principle of it. The first purpose of money is to honor God and to help others. That's number one. Number two, the second purpose of money is to build your life. It's to build your life. Which, and when I say build your life, I'm talking about building a life that can be tracked and measured. Okay? Which means that now I'm here at this level in opposed to where I was then. My mind is changing, so is my operation, so is my wealth. To build your life. That's the purpose of money, to build your life. And when I say build your life, I'm talking about build a better quality of your life. Come on here. Because when you got money, you got options. Do I live inside of a one-room apartment? Or do I live inside of a 10,000 square foot home? There's nothing wrong with neither. If you're content in that one-room apartment, God, this is what you have me? Well, fine. God bless you. I know millionaires that live out of hotels. I mean, literally. They have no physical home. They live out of hotels. And they're millionaires. No problem. But the reality is to build your life. Well, money purpose is to help build your life. Number three, the third purpose of money is to be enjoyed personally. Okay? Now, watch the successive order. To honor God and help others, that's number one. Okay? Number two, to build your life and the quality of life of those around you. And number three, to be enjoyed personally. Okay? These are three categories that your money should be dispersed upon. But they got to be in the proper order. Because if every time you get a little money in your pocket, and I get testimonies, or not testimonies, a prayer request that comes in that people tell me, every year around tax time, they get nervous. And I ask why. Because, Pastor, to have this amount, this much money all at once, they don't know what to do with it. And I share with them that it's a mindset, that they've been broke or been down for so long that when they get any significant amount of money, they panic because their comfort level is low. And so they panic because now they got more than what they're comfortable in having. And so they go wasted on useless junk, on stuff that makes... Listen, I have nothing against anybody wanting better furniture. But here's my point. Put that money into a business or some kind of capacity that can earn you dividends, that from the dividends, you buy your new furniture, but you still got a business that's adding another stream of income to you, multiple streams of income. See, you see how that strategy works? So my point is this, put that money into an investment. that as that investment grows, then you can go take that and go get what you get. Now you got the new furniture and you got an investment, or you got this, or you got that avenue. That's the whole focus of why you want to look at wealth from this case. So, but watch the order. And we teach in this ministry, God first, others next, then yourself. God first, others next, then yourself. If you refuse to live according to that order, God first, others next, then yourself, then guess what? Pride and selfishness will always get in the way of your wealth creation. And I'm going to be honest with you. God is not about to bless somebody who's on their own agenda. He ain't going to bless you. Now, can you go out there and build wealth on your own? Yes, you can, but you won't enjoy it. You can go out there and work hard. You can go out there and work illegal, God forbid, but you won't enjoy it. If you will not enjoy the money that you have. But God, we see here according to scripture that he gives us ability to enjoy our wealth when it's done through him and to have a portion that we bless others with. And so the three purposes of money is this: to honor God and help others, to life build or build your life, which can be tracked and measured, and to enjoy it personally. And listen to me, I say this all the time. One of my absolute favorite cars, and this is just me. One of my absolute favorite cars is a higher end Bentley. I just like the B. The B can stand for blue, can stand for blessed. I just like that, right? But here's my point. There's nothing wrong with me achieving or getting that when I already feed the poor, when we already outreach to the less disenfranchised communities. Well, we already do that. See, oftentimes you get attacked for having nice stuff by immature, ignorant Christians who feel like, oh, you should take that and do this and that, do that. And here's my point. For us at The Better Life, we already do these things. So as God continues to prosper us and prosper us, when the time comes that I go and get the car of my choice, I don't care what people will have to say. Why? Because I am now able to enjoy personally the wealth that I've been able to create by God due to the fact that I have kept the calls and followed the way. Are you following what I'm saying here? So that's the main thing I want you to understand. So in the first category, to honor God, this described kingdom-focused financial objectives. Like tithing, like giving, like offering, like helping the poor, like supporting missions. Or partnering with ministries that help spread the gospel, etc. See, it deals with giving to others as the Spirit of God leads you. This is what the honor of God and help others mean. See, true sacrifice comes from making this objective your priority. There is nothing like the feeling that comes from knowing that you first honored God with your increase. Whether it's through your tithing, your giving, your helping the poor, you're paying for someone's groceries at the checkout line, or whether you're doing a kingdom-focused financial objective. No matter what, it comes from that spiritual foundation that enables you to reap a harvest of financial blessings. And we know that according to Matthew 6:33, where the Bible says, when you seek God first, God's way of doing things, everything else will be added unto you. This is, of course, a new NIV when I read that. Matthew 6:33. Seek first God's way of doing things, that's the kingdom of God and righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Okay? That's the first category as we look at wealth, honoring God and helping others. The second category, which is life building or building your life. All right? This deals with directing your finances towards taking care of the needs in your day-to-day life, as well as saving and investing for your future. It involves things like paying your bills, paying off your debt. When your money is going towards your present and your future life building, it can be measured and accounted for every step of the way. If you look at where you are now in comparison of where you were 6 months ago, are you able to see some positive changes? Are you able to see that you've been activating life-building financial strategies? When you were using your money in life-building purposes, can you say, I have this in my savings account compared to where I was last year? Or all my bills are paid. Or my credit card debts are at a zero balance or canceled, you know, because I'm not going to do credit. See, life-building financial objective demonstrate a traceable process and progress from 1 year to the next. And I want you to hear me. Money should be used responsibly to handle the necessities of life as well as to take care of your financial future. So whether it's life insurance policies or other interest occurring accounts, as well as the purchase of things that appreciate, such as homes, other investment properties, you know, gold, silver, precious metals, cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and others. You can now channel your money into viable life-building ventures that benefit you now and years down the line. These are also what lays the groundwork for your future wealth. So again, that's number two. That's your life building. And those of you, even when it comes to insurance policies, now I'm going to say this here, and I don't mind being transparent. I took out another insurance policy on myself for our ministry that with all the traveling that I'm doing, if anything ever happens to myself and Pastor Shell or anything of that capacity, we have an insurance policy that will pay the church. Are you hearing me? It will pay the church for what? Because whether I'm here or not, the mission goes on. There's people that need to be hired, salaries that need to be paid. There's outreaches that need to be gone forth. So we've done that. We've done that personally and put the church as a beneficiary. Have you done that with the ministry? Have you relooked at your insurance policy that if anything happened to you? I honor my father who just passed. He couldn't get major life insurance because of his condition. You know, he had cancer. He already had heart surgery before or lung surgery before, all kinds of stuff and heart surgery. But he had insurance. And get this, when he passed away, out of his insurance policy, he had $500 going to the church. Now, you might say, well, that ain't much. No, it was the thought that matters. He understood, I love my son. I love what the work that they're doing. And even though I may not be able to contribute so much here, I'm positioning things that when I pass away, there's a portion that will go to ministry. And he's done that. And I'm saying to you, have you done that when it comes to your life insurance? When you're looking at your, because we all have to go. Please understand, as much as, you know, and I've been around death lately, like back to back to back, you understand? So I understand the reality that sometimes when we go, it's unplanned. Sometimes it's not at the timing that we thought, but we all have to go. Well, what do you have left behind you going? Do you remember the kingdom of God or are you only focused on your family? See, we got to change our mindset in all these things because once we do, God can prosper us more. Look at this. It's amazing. So again, the second aspect of money, purpose of money, the second purpose of money is to build your life. And again, I encourage you to do what I've done. I would never ask you to do something more than what I've done is, you know, consider that. Consider that, you know, when your time is up, that what you've been a part of can continue to go forth because you remembered them. You know, a lot of our white brothers and sisters, they do that all the time. They have legacy trust and stuff, legacy, resources that goes to their ministry when they pass. Because the church still must go on. The ministry still must do what it's doing, whether you're here or not. I say it all the time. God cannot say well done if you haven't done well or done anything at all. Okay? Finally, there is what is known as the enjoyment category. Number three, the three purpose of money. All right? This is an area that many Christians do not believe they should experience. From my experience, I've seen that many Christians do not believe that they should have it. See, wrong doctrine and misinterpretation of scriptures have led many well-believing and well-meaning Christians to come to the conclusion that God does not want them to take pleasure in their finances in this world, and that it's a sin to desire material things. The truth is, God put many things in this earth for the sole purpose of your enjoyment as a believer. God is not a harsh worker or master who wants him to keep his children from enjoying the fruit of their labor. On the contrary, your heavenly Father wants you to enjoy a portion of your money that you have worked so hard to acquire. And we saw that again in Ephesians 5:19. See, there's nothing wrong with appreciating the fruit of your labor as long as you don't allow that aspect of wealth to supersede the first two foundational areas, to honor God and help others, and to build your life. Now you follow me. See, as long as you have taken care of kingdom business and have also done so in the area of your life building by doing your part, you have every right to partake in some of the extra, whatever's left over. The key is to keep things in balance and never allow your enjoyment to overshadow your wise decision making where life building is concerned. Doing so can halt your financial process and progress, and it will short circuit your wealth building objectives. Once you understand these directions in which your money is to flow, you can start beginning with coming up with a plan and a strategy for acquiring wealth. And this is why we want to help you. This is why we want to teach you. Better Life Empowerment Movement is a ministry that is focused on building you for the better life in every area of your life, even as it relates to wealth. So we can help you for some ideas on how you can build and create wealth and come up with your personal strategy. I want you to visit AdrianLBlue.com. I'll give you that website again, AdrianLBlue.com. In this, we'll help you with a strategy on some different suggestions or different ways in which you can start building wealth. Do I think one of the most solid investments today, gold, silver, and cryptocurrency? Why do I call it solid? Because I believe it's going to be around forever, especially the gold and silver. Make no mistake about it. It's not going anywhere. I don't believe it's going anywhere according to the scriptures. And that's what I can approach, the way of the scripture. So we want to help you. AdrianLBlue.com. If you go there, you'll be able to look around and maybe even set up a consultation time where we can kind of look at some things and help you along the way. Why? Now that you have this understanding of the three areas that your money should flow, the three purposes, let me say that once again for those of you who are taking notes. Number one, honor God and help others. Number two, build your life, building the better life. That's the second aspect. Number three, to be enjoyed personally. Now that you understand these three purposes of wealth and how it is that God gives it to the person who will walk in the key to obey and serve, now you can be committed to doing just that. And I want to say this to you. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you diligently seek him and do things his way, guess what you're going to see? You're going to see the hand and the plan of God work on your behalf. How do we know it? God is faithful to the faithful. Ask yourself the question, am I of the faithful though? Am I of the faithful? And if you are, wait and see what God is going to do. So listen, guys, my time is drawing near. And I trust that you've been blessed by today's teaching. Again, every Saturday morning, we teach on I'm Worthy of Wealth. I cover different aspects. We try to do it from a spiritual and a physical standpoint. And hopefully, perhaps, you can stand in agreement with me to know that we've done that today. We've shown you the spirituality on how God is giving you wealth and wants to give you wealth, and the physicality on what you ought to do with it. And again, what we're going to do is, so every person who's been blessed today and those who seek to be a blessing, we want to give you a special gift, okay? We want to give you a special gift. The first thing what we're doing is all this month we've been giving what we call our Better Life in Care manuals. Better Life in Care manuals. This is the way that as you're building the better life, to keep all your information in right place, write down, you know, your manifestation five lists in this. It's a set manual. A Better Life manual like that allows you to have all your information and focus forward, because organization, it's one of the prerequisites of building the better life. You got to have order in your life. Anything that is not in order, God is not obligated to be a part of it. That's a kingdom principle, because God operates in decency and in order. So we want to help you be in order. So these beautifully appointed, they're color coded, different sections, phenomenal. We want to make that available for those who give today. Who give today. We're going to share with you what that gift is. Number two, for those who also give, we're going to give you a video teaching of what I taught today. That you can watch it, re-watch it, listen, re-listen. We're going to make it available for you in audio or video track. Your choice. We want to be a blessing to you to help you continue to grow. How can I do that, Pastor? By just simply giving into this ministry. We're going to ask every person who gives a seed of 150 or more into this ministry, Better Life Empowerment Movement, that we're going to make available for you these gifts to help you. And please understand, why would you do that, Pastor? Because it is your growth and your development that we're committed to. And that's what it's all about. That's why we do what we do in the way we do it. So thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir, for your faithfulness. And here's the two ways in which you can give. The first way you can give is by going to our website, betterlifeseeker.com. Click on donate now. That's betterlifeseeker.com. Click on donate now. The second way you can give is by also going to Smart Giving. Right from your phone, text the word increase. Take the word increase, I-N-C-R-E-A-S-E, and you're going to take, once you type in that word, you're going to send it to this number, 407-456-7300. Again, that number is 407-456-7300. Now, you might say, Pastor, I don't have 150 that you're challenging people to give, but this is what I can give. Well, guess what? Whatever you can do, that's not a problem. It's all received. And I'm going to be a blessing because I feel generous today to every person who gives. So whatever you can give, I'm going to make sure that we give you a download of today's teaching, audio only. But those of you who are meeting the challenge that we're challenging you, and all gifts that go into this ministry goes to helping us build the Better Life Empowerment Movement nationwide. A lot of our outreaches and everything of that capacity as well. Those who give that 150 or more, we're going to bless you with the Better Life Manual, as well as a video recording of this teaching where you can see it or listen to it or go back over it. Because I promise you, when you get this foundation in your being, it's going to change all of your movement, all of your operation. Why? Because now you know you're worthy of wealth. And generosity is the key. And to every person who gives, maybe you can't do the 150, get as close to it as you can. And we're going to send you an audio recording of today's teaching. And we want to do that so you can grow. All right? So again, how am I doing this, Pastor? Very simple. BetterLifeSeeker.com. Click on donate now. Follow the instructions. Or from your smartphone, text the number 407-456-7300. And put in the word increase. Text increase to that number. Follow the instructions. All right. If it's your first time, they'll have you fill out some information. But if it's not, all you got to do is give that simply and that freely. Okay. Well, with that said, I trust you've been blessed today. I had a great time sharing this message with you. Amen. And again, I want to see you prosper. I believe that within this ministry, every person should prosper. And every person should go forth. But guess what? It's about principles. It's about having a plan and a strategy that God can work with. Give God something to work with that he can bless you with. Amen. All right. Well, let's get ready to go at this time. Glory be to God. And I'm looking forward to talking to you again on next Saturday for I'm Worthy of Wealth. And do me a favor. Invite a guest. And all throughout the week, if you need any prayer or any specific guidance, reach out to us at 1-877-708-BETTER. That's our ministry line, 1-877-708-2388. Or the word BETTER. And you'll be able to reach out to our offices that we can help out in any capacity that we can. All right, this is Pastor Blue reminding you that God created your life, but it's up to you to create the level of your living. Thank you for your giving today. Thank you for those who've been apart. Let's bow our heads and let's pray ourselves out. Father, thank you, God, for giving us this understanding of today's teaching, that we understand the godly purpose of money and the purpose of wealth and how, God, you want to do it within our lives. So, God, I thank you for all those who are listening by way of Anchor and those who have tuned in from across the country by way of conference line and those who are watching online, that, God, you will bless them with the necessary information to change their situation. Lord, we know that you want to prosper your people, and we're grateful to be among the number that you're going to do so. Because, Lord, we have found ourselves faithful, and we will continue working the plan and planning our work. Father, we pray that you bless every person who's here. Thank you, Lord God, for strengthening the faithful. Lord God, and we also give a special prayer, as we've been doing all week, for Sister Sally Dickerson and her family. Lord God, we're so grateful to have her a part of this ministry. And we thank you, Lord God, for touching her during this time of bereavement. And certainly, Lord, I understand the emotions that we go through during these difficult times. But Lord God, you are a strengthener and you are a keeper. So do that for that family and their loved one who has passed away. And God, we thank you for the privilege to uphold her and others in this manner. God, have your way right now in Jesus' name, as we declare we're worthy of wealth. And we thank you for giving us the principles and the ways in which we can tap into it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, and yes again, amen. All right, everybody, that's my time. I thank you so much for yours. And again, I just want to encourage you, keep in mind the Dickerson family, Sally Dickerson. Just keep her in prayer. Amen. We just want to make sure. I'm not sure if she's on the line today or not, but we just want to really keep her and lift it up during this time, because death happens for everyone. And while we'll miss the person who transitioned away, we still believe for God's purpose and his will to be done in our lives in every way. So we thank God for you and all of our prayer partners who are praying for her. We thank God for you all. Amen. Hey, Sally. Praise the Lord. All right.
You have been listening to Building the Better Life with Dr. Adrian L. Blue, produced by Adrian L. Blue Enterprises Incorporated. We trust that you've been blessed by the teachings of this ministry. Please let us know by sharing your thoughts with Dr. Blue at pastoralblue@gmail.com. For more information and to download today's broadcast, please visit www.betterlifeseeker.com. Just click the tab that says More, then Shop. Thank you for spending time with the ministry to discover cutting-edge strategies that will inspire you to go higher. If you'd like to give a donation to support the ministry, you can. Text the amount to 407-456-7300. That's 407-756-7300. Or go to www.betterlifeseeker.com and click the Donate Now tab. Every gift is a blessing for better. We bless you, we love you, and we'll see you again next time on Building the Better Life.